class called When Helping Helps. And so we're glad that you're joining us here. I want to introduce our friends who will be presenting to us this morning. Some of you know Milton Jones real well with Christian Relief Fund. He works in various places in the world and a lot in Africa with Christian Relief Fund. And so we're glad that he's here today to share with us. He'll introduce more adequately as time goes on as they talk together. Also, we have Francis B. He's a preacher, church leader. If I'm not mistaken, he's also a superintendent of a network of schools, or at least a leader in that regard in Western Kenya. And these two partner together in helping people who need help in various places, especially in Kenya. We're talking about today, I'm sure. Not only in Western Kenya, but also up in the Turkana area. They're doing some work there with water wells and so on. So we're going to learn a lot from them today about what they're doing to bless communities in Africa, and particularly in Kenya. So we're glad they're here with us. I'd like us to just open with a prayer, and then they'll continue with the program. Dear God, we thank you so much for the great love that Jesus brought into our lives and wants us to share with others. And Lord, today we're glad that we can be together and to hear what people are doing, people who love Jesus and who love people in the world who need help. And we pray that you bless these brothers who are colleagues in the gospel, in a holistic approach to reaching, blessing, and transforming communities. And we pray that you will bless them as they share with us today, O God. We lift them up in prayer before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sam. What a great joy it is to be here. And thanks for the invitation. And he asked us to come and is having classes on partnering. Americans partnering with Africans, and I can't imagine anybody I'd rather talk about partnering with than my dear friend Francis Lee. We called it When Helping Helps. Some people are saying helping hurts, but we help. And so we're trying to focus on some things that have actually worked and helped people. And I want to tell you about Francis, because it is so great how we met. In this story, I tell you, you probably won't believe it, but this is a great story how we met. I'll give my kind of starting version of it, then he can add to it, and then I'll come back and finish it. But we got a letter of some sort, or I don't know if it's a letter or email or something, back when I was in the United States, and it was from a guy I'd never heard of in my life, a guy named Francis B. Just a random, you know, contact, Francis B. And he said, I heard that you're going to be in Kenya. And I don't even know how in the world. Maybe he can tell how he heard that I was going to be in Kenya. And so he said, I'll tell you what he said. I believe it was July 12th. He said, on July 12th, I'm going to be standing in front of the post office in Eldoret, Kenya. And he said, and I'm going to be praying that you show up. He said, I hear that you're someone that helps children. And he said, and I want you to help me with my kids. So on July 12th, in Eldoret, in front of the post office, I'll be standing there. I mean, what would you think if you got that letter? You know, you're back in the United States. I think, well, it ends up, I'm over in Kenya, and I'm eating in Katali, Kenya, eating breakfast. And I'm with two other guys, and we're there because we have a work that's there in Katali, Kenya. And so I'm talking to these guys. I can't remember who it was. And I think it was Larry Wu, and maybe, was it Jason Beagle? No, who was it?
Tim's professor.
Okay. And we were, and so we were eating breakfast, and I said, what is today? I said, it's July 12th. And I said, isn't that the day the guy's standing in front of the post office? and they said, I think so. I said, do you think he's really there? And they said, of course he's there. Who writes a letter like that and not be standing there? And I said, well, I wonder how far Eldoret is from Italy. I'd never even been to Eldoret before. And I said, I don't know. And they said, it's probably an hour. You could get there in an hour. And I said, well, you know, we're not supposed to go to Eldoret. We're supposed to be in Kisumu today. But let's drive over there and see if the guy's standing there. So we drive over to Eldoret, and we get there. And we drive up to the post office. I mean, I've never laid eyes on this guy. I know nothing about him. And I pull up, and I hop out. And then all of a sudden, you know, this guy just is jumping up and down and screaming and running over and hugging me and all this. I thought, how did he know it was me? Of course, you know, I'm the only white guy wearing orange in Eldoret, you know. And so he said, I knew you'd come. And he was younger, skinnier, and poorer at that time. But I tell you what, Francis B. is a man of faith and a man of hope. I mean, who else would send a letter like this out there just hoping that somebody would show up that he's never met before, you know, on another continent? Well, Francis is really he has a man of faith then, but he is a man of faith now. And does so many things. He does so many things. He takes care of a lot of children. He takes care of probably about 1,000 AIDS orphans now. And in the last 6 years, since the time I met Francis, he has planted 80 churches. That's a lot of churches, you know, in a six-year period. And he helps with water and drills for water in a place there's not supposed to be water. And so, anyhow, that's how I met Francis. I'm going to finish that story. You give your side of it, and I'll come back and finish the story.
Well, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy and excited to be here today, and happy especially to hear the stories, you know, what the Lord has done in 6 year period. I want to really thank God. When somebody came to Kenya when I was in the Robert Great Commission School, I had a burden of helping children. When I saw some of our neighbors' orphans were mistreated, they were banned, and I got that burden, and it's a call now. And I met somebody who came from America, and he told me that I know about Christian the Elephant. And he connected me with somebody in the office, Julie Rollins. And Julie Rollins asked me, he told me that Milton Jones is going to come to Kenya in July 12th. And she asked me, where do you think you can meet him, or he can meet you? And I told her that because the post office is the only place, it is a public place where you go and collect parcels and you hang on there, and you know, you might get a parcel from a friend from the rural area. So I told her that I would be at the post office. I did not have any call, any phone, but I had faith that he's going to find me there at the post office. I went there very early with my friend, and I waited and waited, and I believe I had hope, a lot of faith that he's going to come. He's going to come by. And in the evening, I saw him. And I could not even hesitate and think that he might be a different person. I knew that this is Milton Jones. So. And from the post office, and then things happened, and God has done amazing things. Yeah.
Well, what he did, he kind of fooled me the first deal, because he sent this thing. He says, "I want you to help me with my children." Now, what would you have thought?
I
would have thought he has a couple of kids and he wants some help with them. I mean, that's what you would have thought. So I get there and I say, "Well, where are your children?" And so Francis takes me into a place called the Haruma Slum. And Haruma means mercy in Swahili. But is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Mercy in Swahili. And I tell you what, you go to the Haruma Slum, there's not much mercy there. I mean, it is a bad slum. And we had this Land Cruiser, and so we're trying to go into the Haruma Slum, this Land Cruiser, and we couldn't make it. I mean, the potholes were so deep that we could not make it in the Land Cruiser, so we had to stop the Land Cruiser and hike in, and we go into this room that he's got, and we go inside this room, and when I walk in there, I got it. Because I walk in there, and Francis is with me, and there are 150 children, all of them AIDS orphans, okay? And he has 150 AIDS orphans, And those were the children. Mm-hmm. It wasn't two little kids. It was those children. And so I walk in there, and I mean, I'm kind of overwhelmed. And I think, oh, wow, I was not expecting that. And I said, so you're wanting me to help all these children? And he said, yes. And I said, whoa, Francis. Because Cushion Relief Fund, we try to be really responsible. Because if you send us your money, you know, we try to be really responsible. And so we usually don't start programs with somebody I've just known a few minutes that's been standing in front of a post office. You know what I'm saying? And so that's all I know about him. He's the guy that stands in front of the post office and had written me about it. And now he has these 150 kids. And when Christian Relief Fund starts at work, the maximum we start on the first work is usually 30 people. You know, because we want to see if somebody can manage it, if it goes well. You don't want to start with a huge amount of children and then it not work well. And so Francis is kind of standing there. I said, well, Francis, you know, I don't really know you, so I don't know if we can start this program. And we certainly don't start a program with 150 kids, you know. We usually start with 30. And Francis just says, hey, if you'll help 30, that'll be great. and he says, that'll be great. And so I said, well, maybe we'll do it, you know. I'm thinking, this guy's got so much faith, we ought to go with him, but I don't really know him very well, but maybe God's going to just work through this whole thing. And so I said, well, we'll sponsor 30. And then he says, okay, you pick the 30 kids.
How cruel is that?
You throw the first stone.
and I'll never forget that time. Yeah, you know, here's 150 kids, and we're going to sponsor 30 of them, and when we're going to take their picture, and I'm, you know, like this, and try to get sponsors for them, and then I'm going to walk away and leave 120 behind. No, it was, that's how it happened, and I said. Said, well, Francis, I tell you what, if you do a good job, we'll get the rest of them sponsored. We're going to have to do it right, because I don't know you, and you're going to have to be responsible, and you're going to have to take care of these kids. And if you do, we'll try to get them all sponsored. And we did. And many more. There's probably about 1,000 of them now in that area. And I don't know anybody that's been more responsible taking care of kids than Francis B. So that's how Francis and I met. And Bruce Wyrick wrote did an extensive study on long-term relief and what works. Yes. And when that came out, it kind of scared me, because I'm kind of trying to do long-term relief, and I'm scared that this massive report comes out, that when it comes out, I'm going to read it and say, oh, no, I'm doing everything wrong. You know, that kind of scares people like me. Well, he came out, and he listed two things he thought provided the greatest help in long-term relief of anything. And the number one thing that he said after all of his research was child sponsorship. Mm-hmm. Man, I felt like I'd won the lottery. You know? He said he didn't know anything that helped more than child sponsorship. And there's a lot of organizations that have done child sponsorship, probably World Vision and Compassion International, the most famous. And in our background, Christian Relief Fund has kind of been, since 71, kind of led the way in child sponsorship. And we have little kids like this from all over the world, except these aren't, because Francis, you know, made sure that these are all from Eldoret. And so anyhow, we have these kids, and it's just an amazing thing for about a dollar a day. You know, it's $35 a month. We totally help these kids, and they get fed, they get to go to school and get an education. When I first started working in Kenya, they wouldn't let the AIDS orphans go to school. I mean, can you imagine that? They said they were stupid. And they wouldn't let them go to school. And we had to fight the government there to get our kids even to school. We had to build our own schools because they wouldn't let them in the public schools. And so we have all these kids, and these kids get fed, they get educated, they get help, they get clothed, they get a place to stay if they need it. We try to keep them with extended family. Sometimes we have to put them in an orphanage. That's not our usual plan, but we help these kids, and they're made such difference. Let me tell you about one kid here. That one there. Let me tell you about this kid here. Y'all know him. Yeah. And Oscar, I love his story, because he came out and told me this story one day, and it was quite a story. Y'all probably already know it and could tell it better. Greg and Susie helped out in Kenya so much, and helped us with Christian Relief Fund. But he came in, he had a big smile on his face, and he came over, and the first time I met him, he wasn't a sponsored kid, and he didn't have regular food. He had a guardian that was abusing him, and he still has burns on his body that you can see from where he was abused. And he just wasn't going to school at that time, and I believe his family had died of AIDS, and I believe his father had died of AIDS. And so anyhow, he got sponsored by a lady named Sarah Gordon. She's a seamstress up in Seattle, Washington, and sponsored Oscar. And he told me the story about what had recently happened. He had this big smile. I said, "What are you smiling about, Oscar?" And he said, "Well, they made me take this national achievement test." He said, "Do you know what an achievement test is?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "It's got hundreds of questions on it. They made me take this national achievement test." And I said, "Well, how did you do on it, Oscar?" And he said, "Well, that's kind of why I'm smiling." He said, "I did quite well on it." He said, "I got every single question correct." I mean, can you imagine that? Yeah, can you imagine taking an achievement test and getting every single one of them right? And yet, he did. And I said, "Well, that's great." He said, "What was bad? You tell me you had some bad news too." He says, "Well, nobody believed me," he said.
Oh.
And he said, "They said it was a farce and that I cheated." And I said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yeah." And they said I had to take it over again. And they sent somebody from the government to stand over me and watch me while I'm taking the test because they said I'm such a cheater. And I said, "Well, what happened, Oscar?" He said, "Well, that guy stood over me and he kind of made me nervous." He said, "But I got them all right again." And I mean, nobody in history even come close to getting them all right. And here this kid, he aced this thing twice. And I started thinking about that. We could say, I mean, you could say that this kid is the smartest child in the country of Kenya. I mean, if you just wanted to objectively say who aced an achievement test, this kid did. And I thought, here, this kid nearly didn't go to school. He nearly didn't have adequate food. Nearly didn't know the Lord. And all that happened. And I thought, if somebody, Sarah Gordon, a seamstress in Seattle, wasn't willing to sacrifice about a buck a day, the smartest kid in the whole country of Kenya might not have gone to school. Tell some other stories, Francis, of some of the kids you've seen there. Tell Ronnie and Rooney, or you can tell that story. Tell about some of the kids and how they've changed.
Thank you. We have a lot of, you know, stories, good stories that the Lord has done in our ministry in Eldoret. And we see this is purely the hand of the Lord. For example, at Milton Jones Education Center, a school in one of the slums in Eldoret, in that neighborhood, we've been helping children. We have over 200 children that are sponsored and about 300 that are in the school. And sometimes we were called just near the school. There is a woman that gave birth. And this woman disappeared, and it's kind of she died or she just disappeared, and nobody knows where she went. And she did not have a husband. And now she left these children immediately after giving birth. She left the children with an old grandmother at a very poor home. There is no food, and they don't have anything. They live in a very poor housing. And the children were left there. And the grandmother, what she could do, she could just leave these children during the day, lock them in the house, and goes to beg for food. And when she comes in the evening or after some time, she finds these children, she gives them food, and these children just survived. Mm-hmm. And every day, the grandmother locked them and went to find food. But these children grew with themselves in the house, in a dark house. They had some diseases like pneumonia and other diseases, but the Lord really helped them. And after some time, we were called that there are children who are here. They are locked here. And we went there. I think they were about a year old or something. And we were introduced to these children. These children, they had started talking. And they had the only language in Kenya. Mm-hmm. I think the third language in Kenya, because they were communicating alone in that room, and you know, in fact, we brought them to school, and at the school we started taking them to the doctor. Then the doctor gave them their medicine. When they were sponsored by CRF, now things unfolded. Their life changed, and they were able to get food, education, clothing. They did not have clothing. In fact, the mother could just put a blanket and just go. But they were able to get... these children were hostile. They could see somebody, they just ran. And they just yell and run. And they did not know any other language. Even the language of the grandmother, they did not know. But we taught them at school. The teachers taught them Swahili, English. They became, social with people. Right now, they are in class. They are healthy. They are doing well. They are talking English and Swahili. And the Lord has done amazing things in these children. And many, many other children that we see, we have children that were on the street feeding on the things on the street. But when they were sponsored by CRF, we have a lot of them that they came to school. They are in high school. Some of them are in the university. We have about 30 in the university. We have a lot of them that have graduated. They have got jobs. Many a times when I go around the city, I went to a hotel, and then somebody came and served me. And that lady asked me, "Do you know me?" And I told her, "I don't know you. I don't even know you." But she told me I was a kid in CRF, and I was sponsored, and I finished college, catering college. I am now the manager of this hotel. But I've forgotten her. After 2 years, I just forgotten her because she's working and I'm working. Yeah. And many other stories like that. We have a lot of them in teaching, some of our policemen, and many good things that have been done through Christian Relief and from the scrap, and these children are excelling. We have high schools, primary schools. When CRF sponsors these children, we bring them to the schools, teach them about Jesus. That is the first thing, to know Jesus Christ. And the second thing, to get education. When they have education, they change Kenya. And we are very sure that in the near future, maybe 20 years coming, we have people in Kenya that are going to move the economy of Kenya and turn around lives of people in Kenya.
Thanks. Our philosophy of children there is Luke 2:52, because we want to raise kids to grow up like Jesus grew up. And in Luke 2:52, it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, in favor with man." And so we want to make sure these kids grow up in wisdom. You know, they grow up intellectually. That's why Francis starts all these schools. And we have one called Susie Peacock. And it's become one of the top schools maybe in the whole country, is it?
Yeah, in the district.
In the district. It's the number one school in the whole district. And it's just started out as a school for AIDS orphans and near Eldoret. And it is one of the most amazing schools I've ever been to. Just they're just so smart. And we've got a lab there, and they're growing food there and raising cows there. We're going to start a computer center real soon. And aren't we?
Yes.
Okay. So it's just a great place. So they grow intellectually, and then it says Jesus grew in stature. And that means physically. And that's why we're taking care of these kids. And so many of the kids that were HIV positive now have the ability to take antiretroviral drugs so they won't get AIDS, and that's just been a tremendous breakthrough. Make sure they've got plenty of food and water. And it says, and grew in favor with God. And that's what's most important. We want our kids to grow up loving Jesus. And that's why Francis is such a church planter. Did I say how many churches he planted? Mm-hmm. Like 80 in the last 6 years. And that's because we want to make sure that there are churches for these kids to go to that are good for them to grow up in, so they'll know Jesus. We found that some churches weren't great for our kids to grow up in. And so when that's not, if it's a good church, we kind of plug in that one. If not, Francis will plant a church. Just so it'll be a good place to reach out and help these children grow up. And then it says favor with man. We want these kids to grow socially. You know, Ronnie and Rooney did not have good social skills when they've been locked up in a room that was dark and couldn't speak the language. And they could only speak Ronnie and Rooney language. But now, it's just amazing to me to see those kids interact. They know several languages now, and I just was watching them learn math the last time I was over there. And just to think of that, they're learning math when they used to be just locked up in this dark room. So that's what we're trying to do, is sponsor kids. The second thing that Ruth Wark said is that was really good for long-term relief. First was sponsoring children. Secondly, it was getting people water. And let me tell you about Francis and I and kind of what happened with us when it came to water. We heard about this. Francis was hearing about it a lot more firsthand than I was about a few years ago when they had this huge famine in the Horn of Africa. And it quit raining. And so Francis and I talked about that, and we said, we should do something. And we were watching the news here in the United States, and it was just amazing, you know, that there were 12.5 million people who did not have food and water in the Horn of Africa, in Ethiopia and Kenya and Somalia. And so we started saying, we should do something about this. And so we started shipping in a lot of food, especially to the Dadaab area, where the refugees, it was the biggest refugee camp in the world at that time. And then we couldn't get the food in anymore, because you've heard of the Al-Shabaab that are kind of killed the 147 students the other day. Well, they were planting landmines in the road where Francis is trying to go to deliver food. I remember one day in my office, and Francis said, you know, there's landmines in the road. You still want me to take the truck of food in? And I said, no, let's not do that, Francis. And so I said, let's find another place. And he said, well, I think Turkana is just as needy, and not many people are going over there. Everybody's going over to the Dadaab. And so we started going into the northeast, northwest part of Kenya, and we got over there, and it just hadn't rained in years. And in parts of it we're working right now, I don't believe it's rained in 7 years. Is that right? Mm-hmm. And so we started drilling water wells. And you got to understand, Francis and I, we're preachers, okay? We are not water well drillers, you know? We're not the typical relief guys. And we don't really know what we're doing, but we started trying to do something. And I challenge you on that. You don't always have to know what you're doing, because God does. And if you just kind of try to be faithful and go with God, he works out some amazing things when you do that. So I think one of my first trips over there, up into the Turkana region, and I thought Greg and Susie just were there recently, been helping in that area. But I remember going there, and I'd sent some money, and Francis had a well drilled. I think that was Timothy that drilled the well. And so we're going to this Turkana region, and it's a desert. It now hasn't rained in 7 years there. And so we're just going there. It's kind of cool because you can drive about as fast as you want to drive. And it's we're driving along here, and we didn't see hardly anybody except a few camels along the way. And you'd see these camels periodically, and that's about all you would see at that time. And we're just driving, and it was just in the middle of nowhere. Y'all were at Nadaab, I think, but this is a different place. And we're just going out there, and I'm thinking, we are never going to get home. Although one time I did get lost in the desert with no water with Francis. So sometimes if you're going with Francis, always ask him if you've got water with you. Okay? And so we finally get out there, and I start seeing this little mirage on the horizon. We get out there, and there's all these people that are gathered out there. And we're just tons of people that are gathered there. And then we get over there, and this is, we drilled the well. This is our new rig. This, we didn't have that rig then, but we drilled this well. And so when I get there, they had waited for me to get there before they started using the well. You know, they wanted me to christen the well or something before they used it. And I always wear orange. It's the color of hope for AIDS orphans. And so they put orange ribbon. Where they got that in the middle of the desert, I do not know. But we get there, and Francis introduces me to him. Here is Milton Jones, the man that brings water. You know, it's kind of this funny introduction, you know. And so I go out there, and so I'm supposed to cut this thing and pump on it, you know. And so I start pumping on this thing, and I mean nothing comes out. I mean nothing comes out of this thing. And so we start disassembling this thing. And, you know, you got Francis out. We know nothing. We know nothing, you know, about it. But we're pulling this thing out, these rods out of this thing. And we finally get down there. And this is a deep well. You know, I mean, it is hundreds of feet. And we get one. And it looks, goofy to us. You know, it looks like something's wrong with it. And so he asked Timothy, think you can get another one of these? And he says, yeah, it'll take me 3 hours. And Francis says, go get it. And he turns to me and says, these Turkana people love to make speeches. I think we can stall with speeches. And so, anyhow, he calls everybody together and says, this is a great day, you know, an important day. And so we got to make speeches for 3 hours, you know, just stalling to see if we can get this part coming back. And sure enough, these Turkana people love to make speeches. So everybody's making a speech on what a great and momentous day this is, you know. And I'm just hoping they don't introduce me as Milton Jones, the guy who doesn't bring water, because you know? These guys are they can be tough people, you know. Up here, they have to. They're just tough people, and so I didn't want to be the guy that didn't bring water. So we finally get back there, and we put those down there, those rods back down there, and assemble this well again. And so I'm going to pump. And I'm a little worried, concerned. You know, after 3 hours of speeches, I better get some water. So I start popping and popping and popping and popping. And you know what comes out? Water. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just so great. And so Francis told me, he says, say something to the people. And I had this little Bible here. And it was this is the very Bible. It's kind of a funny shape because it fit right in this pocket. I had my pants perfect size, although it's the New Testament for golfers. You know, and so, you know, I felt like I was in a big sand trap. Is what it was like. And so it's contemporary English version. And I never used that version, but this is the one I had, you know. And right then I thought, you know, I think Psalms 107 fits this moment. And so I started reading it, and it says, some of you were lost in the desert. Some of you were lost in the desert, far from a town. You were hungry and thirsty and about to give up. You were in serious trouble, but you prayed to the Lord, and he rescued you. Right away, he brought you to a town. You should praise the Lord for his love and for the wonderful things he does for all of us. To everyone who is thirsty, he gives something to drink. To everyone who is hungry, he gives good things to eat. It kind of fit, didn't it? Kind of fit. And then I told him, I said, do you know what kind of God you have? They were translating for me. I said, do you know what kind of God you have? It tells us right here, verse 35, but the Lord can also turn deserts into lakes and scorched land into flowing streams. I said, you have a God who can bring water into the desert. And when I said that, they started, do you remember that? They started jumping up and down. I guess that's how they dance. Yeah. And they jump high, kind of like the Maasai people. And they just jumped up and down, and just singing and dancing and hollering and all that. And right then I thought, how long has it been since I've jumped up and down because I had some water? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Francis, tell more about what's happening with our water. They're in Hope Water.
When what we see through water is really more than water, because when Christian the Lifant gave hope to these people, these communities in Turkana and in Baringo, which we started from Baringo, because in Baringo, in Barwesa, those people, you know, we planted churches there, and we could see children. Because they're orphan children, they live with old grandparents, and because these old grandparents cannot go that distance, like 15 kilometers, to go and find water. I mean, and it is dirty water, blue water, I've seen blue water, green water, mm-hmm. And they send these children for that 15 kilometers. And when these children, you know, from different communities, they merge, they meet at that river, that river, they will make a queue for a long distance. And these are children. They go with jerrycans. And when they meet there, they wait. And sometimes they sleep there so they can wake up very early. They sleep around there because it is warm. There is no need of a bed or blanket. They just sleep there. In the morning, they will fetch the water very early, and then they will carry back 15 kilometers home. So most of the children were not going to school. They were not going. That is their work. When they reach home with that little jerrycans of water, they will use for 2 days. then they will have to go back 2 days again to go and find water. So after drilling a well there, we see these children will have opportunity because we have a well in a circumference of maybe 5 to 3 kilometers. They will go there and fetch water, and they will have time to go to school. Now children have an opportunity to go to school to study. And also we are able to do irrigation, doing irrigation with these communities here, and we are able to give them goats so that these goats can have can give them milk for these children, and we are able to plant mangoes so that these communities can be sustainable in future. And for sure today, because we planted some mangoes 4 years ago, and they are harvesting this time. They are selling. They are helping the children in Bari, in Barwesa. And through this water, we can plant a church there, and the people can come. When they come there to fetch water, they can we can share them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can plant a church, and the people will know about Christ. In Turkana, when you plant a church, now these people, the lifestyle of these people are nomadic. They move from one place to another in search of water for their goats. So when you when we drill a well with CRF, they get, first of all, they get clean water for the use at home, and they get water for livestock, and they do irrigation. And then the lifestyle of these people change. They start building some homes there, and they live there, and we plant a church in that place, and we preach to them, and we help the children. When CRF sponsors some children, we help them, and it becomes a community where they know God, they are stable, and we are working on with the CRF to do the self-sustainable project, like, you know, doing irrigation in some places which the soil is good, with a partnership of other organizations. And we have seen amazing things through the help of water. And when we drill this well, we do the settlement, as I told you, the people get settled, and we do the church planting, the children ministry, and in some communities they fight the tribes. And when we drill a well, like in Barwesa and Turkana, the Turkanas and the Pokots, they are fighting, and we drill a well in the middle of these two tribes, and they will meet there. They will not fight because they are thirsty. Mm-hmm. When they meet there, they greet each other, and they become social, they become friends, and you've made peace through water to this community. And in Barwesa, they are the Tugen, and the Pokot, they are fighting, and people are killed, they are displaced. But when we drill the water, with CRF, we put beehives, a lot of beehives in the middle of these two communities, and we bought goats for these communities, and we make farms for these communities, and it became a community of people that love each other, and they appreciate each other, though they are from different ethnic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Through water, we have seen a lot of lives change. In some of our schools, like Living Hope and Susie Peacock High School, water was not really there. And we could see a lot of children suffering every week with typhoid. Typhoid has been a problem in the highlands. And when CRF drilled wells in these places, we could not hear the typhoid cases. In Somerville Living Hope, you could hear everybody in the village having typhoid. But when we drill a well, we have clean water, there is no contamination, and you could not just hear people suffering from typhoid in the community. So drilling a well has made a lot of huge impact in the lives of people and in the children and communities and the nation of Kenya. And we really praise God, because once you do that, it has really impacted lives. For example, the children recently, their stories, and as we ask the Lord to continue helping, sponsoring children through Christian Relief Fund, we are seeing a lot of children. They hear that there are people who help children in this place, and they travel for very long distance. Coming to that place, when they think that it is automatical, when they arrive there, they will get to be sponsored. But when they arrive there, we tell them that, you know, we have to help you sponsor first so you can come to school, so you can get food, so you can get clothing, and you see they are sympathetic. But sometimes we take some children. We take as many as possible, though they are not sponsored, because of their situation. They are very bad. Recently, in Medgay, one of our newest centers, there is a family that was struck by lightning, and it killed the family, and the children remained. And in Kenya, they believe that lightning is an act of God, small g. And these children, you know, when they get out of that home, they remain orphaned. And wherever they went, nobody could accept them, because they believe that whenever they go, lightning will visit them again. So they rejected these children everywhere they go. Where they go to their relatives, they say, no, we don't want lightning to visit us. But we were there, and we welcomed them. We gave them encouragement. We took them, and they need sponsorship again, like other many children that come. So I want to thank God, and what CLF has done and what's doing now, it has changed Kenya. It has transformed lives. It has empowered communities for Christ. Now I thank God for Dr. Milton Jones. And I usually pray that the Bible says you have mansion in heaven. And what I usually pray is that when we will be in heaven, that his mansion will be closer to my mansion. So that I will be visiting him always. And because God has done amazing things through him. And thank you so much for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Francis.
Let me show that one picture here. This one was such a blessing. I wore my Texas Tech shirt here today because when we first started drilling, it was really expensive over there. It cost us about $20,000 in this place to drill for a well. And the chairman of the board of Texas Tech gave us this rig. And so because of that, we were able to reduce the price from $20,000 down to about $10,000 to drill a well in that desert. And now the CEO, Justin Boots, is matching all of ours so we can drill a well there for $5,000. So what used to cost $20,000, now we can drill a well there. And we have a whole team that follows up on planting churches. And we have this great plan. We're going to drill a well and plant a church and build a school. And when we started, we weren't that fast, but this last year we've drilled about a well a week, and we're hoping this next year to do two a week. So I don't think we can plant churches that fast, but we're going to still have some going behind them. And I think in the last year we had about 50 wells, right around 50 wells, and I don't think we had a single dry hole and in a place where we were told there wasn't any water. Isn't that amazing? Just what God can do through a man of faith. Let me close with one story. It happened in Barwesa, and Francis called me one day and said, "The children are eating rats up in Barwesa. That's the only thing left to eat." And I said, "Well, we better do some of that." So we've got food up there, and then we realized we need to drill some water wells, and so we drilled some up in Barwesa. And Francis and I went to see them after it was done, and there was an old elder in that community, real old guy. His name's Luke. Do you remember Luke? And so Luke pulled me aside, and he was not elder in the church, an elder in the community. And he pulled me aside. I wanted to sit down under a tree and drink some tea. And it had come from new water. And so we're under this tree, and he thanked me, and he thanked Francis for being here. And he said, "My life has changed." He said, "I did not understand something until you came here." He said, "I did not know how near hope was to me until you came here." He said, "I did not know that just right underneath my feet was the water that I needed to keep me alive. It was right under my feet, but I did not know it. I had no idea until you came. And because you came, we now have water." And he said, "And I did not know it, that God was always here. I did not know it. But God was always here, but I did not know it until you came. And you told me about God. And you gave me water, and then you gave me so much more. And I now have God in my life." And I guess that's what has been a joy, you know, and is working with Francis and partnering with some of you in this room. It's just
be able to go, and because you go there, people are saved. You know, they're saved physically, they're saved spiritually. And it's often we think, I can't do anything. You can do something, you know. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, you know, there's a seamstress in Seattle that, because of her, the smartest kid in Kenya now is a Christian, and it's going to be a life changer. And people like Luke know God and have water. Thanks so much for being here. And Sam, did you want to close it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Milton and Francis, for this powerful example of how international partnership in the Christian world can really impact. Thank you for your presentation. And I want you to know that each day this week at this time in this classroom, there will be another example of that that we're trying to encourage. Missions Resource Network, we're trying to encourage better use of better stewardship of the kingdom funds and other resources that God has given. And thanks for starting us this week.
If anybody wants to have a kid, we got plenty of kids.
Okay, so anybody can come up here and find a way to help sponsor something that's doing a great job of transformation in the world. Thanks again.